25. The second wave arrived just minutes after my father departed, and a swarm of Glaive and Wyvern fighters descended from the sky to attack Portland and the surrounding suburbs. Our drone reserves were heavily diminished, and consequently we were far more outnumbered than we had been during the first wave. But the EDA's civilian gamer forces continued to put up a valiant fight, and a fierce battle raged in the streets of the city and in the sky above while we carried out our mission inside the store. During his chalk talk, my father had explained how the EDA's hardline intranet worked. It was an underground fiber-optic cable network, directly linking all of its drone controller outposts together, creating a disruptor-proof communication system that the Alliance had prepared in anticipation of the invasion. It would allow the EDA to keep communications open between its command outposts and allow drone operators to help defend other installations remotely while the disruptor was active via hardwired defense turrets and tethered drones. If everything went according to my father's plan, we would be able to use our intranet connection at Starbase Ace to help him infiltrate the Raven Rock outpost during the chaos of the disruptor attack. If not, well, then he was going to be totally hosed. While my father piloted his manned interceptor to assault Raven Rock, where Vance's team was located, I sat inside Starbase Ace, piloting the three interceptors my father had commandeered from the Icarus crater and sent off toward massive Jupiter, its tiny moon, Europa, and the icebreaker closing in on it. Cruz and Deal took control of four new Aethids from a nearby EDA drone cache and redeployed them in the Starbase Ace parking lot to defend us during the second wave of the attack. Lex was at Sapphire Station, and Ray was at Gila Mountain. Both were connected to the hardline EDA intranet from inside their assigned drone controller pods, and both were already preparing to help my father execute his infiltration plan. While Cruz and Deal used their giant robots to help defend Starbase Ace from the incoming swarm of spider fighters and basilisks, my mother, Debbie, and Wody all used Wasp aerial drone quadcopters to defend the store from above. Wody was fighting from an Armada sit-down arcade game located in the game room of her Uncle Franklin's bowling alley in New Orleans. Debbie was back home in Duluth, controlling her drone from her own living room, while her three sons continued to stand guard outside their home by controlling EDA drones with an Xbox, a laptop, and a touchscreen tablet, respectively. We knew that Debbie and Wody would both lose control of their drones when the disruptor switched on, but there was nothing we could do about that. They intended to help out for as long as they could. While my friends kept the enemy drones at bay, I continued to pilot my drones toward Jupiter, trying to make it to Europa in time to stop the icebreaker, while my father attempted to prevent Vance from launching the weapon before my ships even got there. That was when we got word via a public EDA command broadcast that the second disruptor was about to make landfall back here on Earth, in the unlikeliest of locations. At first, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Instead of activating the disruptor in a secluded spot like Antarctica, this time the aliens picked a far less subtle location, the National Monument at Devil's Tower, Wyoming, the same spot where humanity makes first contact with the alien visitors in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, an intergalactic game of Simon, featuring those same five tones the Europans had used to bookend their cryptic transmissions to us. "Oh, that's not cool," Deal shouted, staring at a live video image of the disruptor taken by an orbiting satellite. "Are these alien pricks openly mocking us now? Christ!" When the disruptor activated, the drones my friends were using to defend Starbase Ace were disabled and went limp or fell out of the sky, as did every untethered EDA drone around the world. But the European drones continued to attack, closing in on Starbase Ace as if they somehow knew it was of strategic importance. Lex, Ray, Debbie, and Wody all lost control of their drones as their links went dead. So did Cruz and Deal, but they both ran outside and activated the hardline controllers on two dormant Aethids. They detached the small Xbox-like game controller from each Aethid's back and then ran back inside, unspooling their drones' carbon fiber-sheathed tether cables to their maximum length. My mother, always cool during a crisis, ran over to guard the door behind me with an aluminum baseball bat, apparently with the intention of using it to fight off any killer alien robots that attempted to get past her. I took off my QCOM, strapped it onto her right wrist, and showed her how to fire its built-in laser. She tossed her bat aside, then aimed the device at the floor and activated its beam for a split second, long enough to burn a hole in the carpet and the concrete foundation beneath. "I got this," she said, smiling with satisfaction. Then she aimed her new weapon back at the door, continuing to stand guard over me. I focused my attention back on the array of monitors and controllers spread out around me. The three interceptors my father had launched from the Icarus crater were finally closing in on Europa. Even though I was located inside the disruptor's cancellation field, these three ships were millions of miles outside of it, so my quantum communication link to them was unaffected. And so, unfortunately, were the EDA's links to the Icebreaker and its fighter escort, under the control of Vance and his underlings at Raven Rock. I took control of the lead interceptor, and through its cameras, I could see the Icebreaker closing in on the icy moon, surrounded by its escort of 24 drone interceptors. I knew that those ships were under the control of the best pilots the EDA had available, and that would almost certainly include Viper and Rostam, who were both listed above me in the Armada pilot rankings for a very good reason. They were better than me. Even with three ships, there was no way I could take them all on at once, no matter how badly I wanted to. So instead, I did as my father had instructed. I sat tight, out of sight, and waited for him to even the odds. When he reached Raven Rock, my father circled high over the base, waiting until the moment the enemy activated the disruptor. He knew exactly when it happened because the EDA fighters and drones protecting the installation down below deactivated instantaneously. I also lost the audio and video feeds from inside his cockpit, but a few seconds later, Lex executed some further computer wizardry and a live video image of my father's ship reappeared at the edge of my HUD. The feed appeared to be from one of the base's external security cameras, fed back to us through the hardline intranet. With the base's defenses momentarily disabled, my father had turned his interceptor into a steep dive, and now he appeared to be making a suicide run at the base's armored blast doors, which were still very much closed. As he raced toward the base, I realized he was aiming for one of the drone launch tunnels, just as I had earlier during my colossal screw-up at Crystal Palace. But here, instead of being disguised as grain silos, the launch tunnel openings were camouflaged as rock formations embedded in the mountainside. I sat in Starbase Ace, watching his progress over the base's network of security cameras. Once his ship was inside the Raven Rock drone hangar, my father set it to hover on autopilot, then used his ship's laser turret to cut a large hole in the ceiling. He raised his interceptor up to the opening, opened his cockpit canopy, and jumped out, scrambling into the dust-filled level above the hangar ceiling. Then he drew his sidearm and took off running, even deeper into the base. I expected the corridors to be empty or filled with inert drones, but when the disruptor activated, some of the base's internal hardwired defense turrets had remained operational, along with a few dozen tethered Aethids, all controlled by operators linked to them through the EDA's hardline intranet. They were already converging on my father's position, under orders to stop him at all costs. If it hadn't been for Lex and Ray, he wouldn't have had a chance. Thankfully, Lex was already inside the EDA's security firewall, so she was able to access the base security system to guide my father and use it to help him avoid or evade as many of the tethered Aethids as she could while throwing up blast doors around his route to keep defenders away. Meanwhile, Ray used his own hardline network access to seize control of the laser defense turrets positioned along my dad's route and used them to blast a path through the drone stationed ahead of him. But just when there seemed to be no stopping him, they stopped him. His luck ran out and a pack of tethered Aethids got the jump on him. He managed to take them all out, but not before a stray plasma bolt hit him in the chest, and he went down. I watched helplessly as he struggled to get back on his feet, but he couldn't. So he began to crawl. He pulled himself down the corridor until he reached a charging dock where five dormant Aethids were stored. He opened up the maintenance access panels one at a time and entered a long code on each one, then all four of them powered up. My father detached the tethered controllers from each drone and used them to command the four Aethids to lift his injured body off the ground. Then he had them interlace their eight arms and legs around his body, forming something that looked sort of like a walking spider tank. This contraption lifted him up and continued to carry him forward. He rode inside as he blasted his way farther into the base, firing four sets of Aethid weapons as he came. He also hijacked all of their external speakers and then used them to play a song I recognized immediately from his old Raid the Arcade mix, Run's House by Run DMC. "Archie really hates hip-hop," we heard him say. "I bet this will throw him off balance, like Ride of the Valkyries." He cranked the song up to an ear-splitting volume. I could see him mouthing the lyrics as he continued to fight his way toward Vance, lumbering forward like a Terminator that was never going to stop until it had completed its final mission. My father piloted his makeshift tank down one last corridor, then finally arrived at his destination. A pair of armored doors labeled Raven Rock Drone Operations Command Center. Then, to my horror, I watched as he set the power cells on all four of his Aethids to manual overload. In a panic, I asked Lex to patch my voice through to him. "I already did," she said. "He can hear you right now." "Dad, what are you doing?" I screamed, but it was a rhetorical question. I knew exactly what he was doing. He glanced up at the security camera mounted nearby, the one we were watching him on. He smiled, but he didn't answer me. He just turned his makeshift spider tank around and then used it to crash through the armored doors into the command center itself. Several of the drone drivers had already climbed out of their pods and were now standing there in the middle of the room waiting for him, including one I recognized, Captain Dog, a.k.a. Rostam, the teenage officer who had asked for my autograph. He looked completely starstruck in my father's presence. Admiral Vance was standing in their midst, waiting, too. The Admiral ordered his men to open fire on my father as soon as he stumbled forward into the room, but only a few of them actually obeyed. The majority of them, including Rostam, didn't even raise their weapons, and most of those who did couldn't seem to bring themselves to fire, not with General Xavier Lightman in their sights. Then Vance started shooting, firing his 9mm Beretta. First, he took out the speakers on each of my father's drones, silencing the music blaring out of them. Then he turned his weapon on my father. I saw Rostam avert his gaze. "You're a damn fool," Vance said, just before he opened fire on my father. Several of his men opened fire too. Most of their shots were deflected by his shield of Aethids, but not all of them. A bullet grazed my father's left leg. He still didn't stop coming, though. He continued to lurch forward, piloting his makeshift Aethid spider tank farther into the room as more laser fire and bullets struck him and his drones until he finally collapsed a few yards away from Admiral Vance, trapped inside the tangled wreckage of the four Aethids. That was when Vance finally spotted the power core overload countdowns ticking away on each of them. All of them had about 10 seconds remaining. "You guys all need to get out of here," my father said. Rostam and the other men turned and ran for the exit as fast as their legs would carry them, but Vance didn't move. "You better get going too, Archie," my father said. 6 seconds. 5. Vance shook his head and then ran to the exit before turning back. "This was pointless," he said. "This won't stop us from deploying the icebreaker, you know." Then he turned and ran, and the op center doors hissed closed behind him. "I know," I heard my father mutter to himself. "I was just trying to delay you." Then he laughed. "My son is going to stop you." Then my father's four makeshift bombs all detonated in unison, and the video feed went black. I screamed. I don't know for how long. When I finally got a hold of myself and returned to my senses, I checked the camera feeds from my three drones orbiting Europa. The squadron of EDA drones escorting the icebreaker had broken formation. They were now drifting around the icebreaker, which had discontinued its descent toward the moon. At this very moment, I knew Admiral Vance and the other pilots who had been in control of the icebreaker's fighter escort were evacuating the Raven Rock installation. But I also knew that it would only be a matter of seconds before they reached a safe location and retook control of their drones and the icebreaker. I probably had less than a minute before they started to come back online. I left two interceptors orbiting at a distance, took control of the third, and swooped in to attack the defenseless drones drifting helplessly in front of me. I destroyed half of the icebreaker's fighter escort before I came to my senses and forgot about the rest to focus all of my fire on destroying the icebreaker. But I was still struggling to knock out its shields when Vance and his men seized control of their drones once again from some new location, possibly using their QCOMs. Suddenly, I found myself outnumbered and outgunned, locked into a dogfight with six interceptors. As I moved to engage, the song One Vision by Queen queued up on my father's old Raid the Arcade playlist. That finally managed to put me in the zone. I took out four of their ships in as many seconds, leaving only two interceptors remaining, the ones piloted by Rostam and Viper Vance. I went after Rostam first, recklessly ramming his drone with mine. The impact set his drone careening off at an oblique angle right into the path of one of the icebreaker's automated sentry guns. It exploded in a collapsing fireball. Now, it was just me and Admiral Vance. The two of us were now locked in a fierce duel around the icebreaker as it hovered above Europa. Muffled through my headphones, I could hear the chaotic sounds of real-world combat somewhere close by, and they were growing ever closer. Spider fighters had surrounded Starbase Ace. Cruz, Deal, and my mother were fighting to keep them at bay, and a basilisk was closing in on the store. Then, at the last minute, Wodey swooped down out of the sky in her own manned interceptor. When the disruptor had activated and she'd lost control of her drone, she decided to jump back into her prototype interceptor and had hauled ass here from New Orleans to help us. She took out the basilisk on her first pass with a shot right between the eyes, then swung around again and strafed the spider fighters, allowing me to focus my attention back on my duel with Admiral Vance halfway across the solar system. I knew that Vance had flown on my father's wing at Moonbase Alpha, but he turned out to be even better than I expected. Before I knew what had happened, Vance had swung around on my tail and blasted my interceptor to pieces. Then he turned and continued to escort the icebreaker to its target. But Vance didn't know that I still had those last two interceptors in reserve, waiting in a holding pattern nearby. I took control of another ship and went after Vance. I managed to strafe him with a barrage of plasma bolts, but his shields held and his ship remained undamaged. He killed me again. He was really good, almost as good as my father, but not quite. I took control of my last ship and once again intercepted Vance and the icebreaker just as it came within firing range of Europa's surface. It was now or never. I pushed aside my grief and paralyzing rage and focused on what I wanted now more than anything else in this life, to make my father proud of me and to make certain that his sacrifice had not been in vain. I firewalled my interceptor's throttle and locked horns with Vance's drone, which was still flying in a protective pattern around the icebreaker. But his ship's power core was running low now, while I had a fresh ship with a full charge. There was no time now for subtlety. I put my fighter into a dive and came straight at him with all guns blazing, while he did the same, the two of us playing an outer space variation on a game of chicken, unloading all of our weapons at one another simultaneously. A split second before we collided, his depleted shields failed, but mine held, allowing me to destroy his ship with a well-placed plasma bolt. It incinerated his ship just as mine flew straight through the ensuing fireball. I didn't stop to celebrate. I swooped down to take out the icebreaker, too, just seconds before it launched its nukes at Europa's surface. "Don't do it, kid!" Vance screamed over the comlink channel, now powerless to stop me. "If you do this, you'll be personally responsible for the extinction of the entire human race." I went ahead and did it anyway. When I fired a last burst from my sun guns, the icebreaker went up in a brilliant, soundless explosion of light.